Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined once again by my good friend, new friend here, Mr. Pat Valenti, who joined us, I think it was last week, Pat. I can't remember exactly when, but I know you've been on one pod, man, and it was a lot of fun. Wanted to have you back. We had some good insights there. I think I did pretty well that day, if I recall correctly, but it all kind of gets lost in the shuffle. But how are you doing, man? How are you feeling about this slate in general?
I'm doing well, Keith. Yeah, I think it was last Thursday there was my first appearance. Yeah, it's a smaller size slate. I like a couple of the games on there. We got the Blazers and Grizzlies there. That's a ugly game. There's probably going to be some value had there, but whether you can spot it or not, that's a different story. But we can get into the slate here and see what we think about some games and some value guys and some potential pivots and see what you think about the slate.
Oh yeah, you know me. I love the Portland and Memphis game, targeting it heavily because I do like two bad teams when they play each other. So there you go.
Oh,
And
absolutely.
it's also a back to back too, which is interesting between these two same teams. So maybe we'll take something from the game from tonight. But yeah, we
Sure.
are recording this tonight before, of course, if you guys aren't aware, it is an early look at the slate. So obviously things will change. It's only five games, so I don't anticipate a whole lot changing here, but there is some stuff, Pat, that's still outstanding, of course, that's going to be very key for us to kind of keep on track of. So we will clue you guys into that. If you guys don't already follow us, go ahead and follow us at Ethos DFS, at Ethos DFS, and get notified when every single episode drops. But yeah, let's roll right into it, man. So we got this. It's broken down into two different slates. We're going to cover both of them here because very few games here. We've got the two-game slate that's earlier, and then we've got a three-game slate that's later. The two-game earlier slate, we'll go ahead and hit that first. We first got Atlanta, the Hawks at the Brooklyn Nets. And that's a 1.5-point spread in favor of the Nets, which that really intrigued me when I saw that because I don't know about that one. The Nets are pretty terrible these days.
Sure.
But, let's go ahead and skip that, though. Anyone standing out to you here? I mean, there's probably plenty of people. I have plenty of people from this game that I love. I think, personally, let's talk about this in general. I want to stack this game and just kind of screw the Utah and Miami game. That's my inclination here. Are you leaning the same way, or are you kind of divvying it up more?
Yeah, well, a lot of these, smaller two-game slates and whatnot, in turbo slates kind of in general. I know this isn't necessarily a turbo slate, but my approach is, I play GPPs as it is anyways. I usually kind of try to fade the big name studs, in these games. And I'm not saying that I always do that. There are times where I'll play them, and it depends on how many lineups are out there and whatnot too. But, I'm just trying to find value in some good, pivot plays on these smaller slates because a lot of people tend to be gravitated towards the same guys. And, a lot of the times it's, it's a role player too, or a guy off the bench that really swings these smaller slates. So
Yeah.
that's really who we're trying to target in these.
And you never know what's going to happen. I mean, it could start out where things are going how we think it's going to go. And then, things just kind of fall, the wheels fall off and someone gets injured or whatever. You never know, things like that do happen all the time. And that definitely on a two game slate, that will totally turn the slate sideways. And you never
Sure.
know how that's going to affect it. But yeah, on the Atlanta side, let's just go ahead and jump into it. DeAndre Hunter and Kobe Bufkin are two guys, like you said, you play GPPs, I do too. Those are two guys I'm not going to be rostering. I think they are good plays. I think if you're playing a cash lineup for whatever, slate you're playing in, I like those guys, but they're probably going to be pretty highly owned here. And so to your point, if we want to get some leverage with the ownership, those are two guys I'm actually fading. I'm actually gravitating more towards, on the Atlanta side, the Bogey Bogdanovich. Didn't have necessarily the greatest game in the last one, if I remember correctly. Only 11 points on 4 of 13 shooting, but the usage is definitely there without Trae Young, of course. And
Absolutely.
Maybe the ownership's going to be high here, but I feel like he's a guy that's going to be a little bit more overlooked as people go to like the Jalen Johnsons and the Sadiq Bays and the DeAndre Hunters. I mean, there's plenty of guys on this Atlanta team that you can kind of target. So I'm really feeling some bogey here. Talk me off that ledge or talk me on that ledge. How you feeling about it?
No, well, with the bogey call there, I mean, with Trae Young being out, this team is absent, an on-ball presence, ball handlers. Yeah, they have DeJounte Murray. He's going to have a high usage rate and whatnot. But I see Bogey being a lot more involved with the ball in his hands, kind of setting up the offense, getting guys involved. That's going to open up assist opportunities for him. And, maybe he gets hot and more one-on-one ISO scoring situation. So I do like that call, especially for his price there. And another way that I'm kind of looking at it here is might just pay up for DeJounte Murray. I don't know, as far as the rest of the people build their lineups, if they'll pay up for him or not. I don't know. He might be pretty popular, but I think at the same time, there's a chance that he could hit his ceiling in this matchup. And I think people might be, wanting to play Bufkin a little bit. And I just think that might be an intriguing play there. I mean, I know he's a popular player and he's probably the highest priced player, for this matchup, but I kind of like the DeJounte Murray play myself. But I like the bogey call too, absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're looking at the slate here and where the top stars are. I mean, I think people will gravitate towards like a Jimmy Butler at 8,100. There's Bam Adebayo 8,400, who I think is a nice play also. But DeJounte is definitely the highest price guy at 9,500 on this the small early two game slate, and sometimes it does scare people off. I don't know though.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of options. That's the only thing,
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. I thought maybe with him being priced the way that he is, it actually might deter his ownership a little bit. And you never know that. It's tough projecting that at times. Like I said, if you're making a couple lineups or whatnot, and especially tournaments, I kind of like him in this build. But the bogey call I absolutely like. And I don't know if you want to stick with this game currently or if I can bounce to
Yeah,
this
let me
Jazz Heat game a little bit.
Yeah, no, let's mention one more thing here because
Yeah, sure.
on this two game slate, one thing that I did notice for me at least is the center position is just kind of gross. I don't really like the center position on this two game slate here. None of these guys are really jumping out to me. I mean, you got Capella, you got Collins, you got Adebayo. Those are all fine. I'm more inclined to kind of just punt the position, honestly. Walker Kessler, if he plays, maybe give him a look. I don't know. We'll talk a minute here about the Brooklyn side as well. De'Aaron Sharp is out there for 4,300, but for me, if I want to just punt it, I like Bruno Fernando at 3,500. I mean, look, there's no Onyeka Okongwu here. He's still getting minutes in the upper teens. Hasn't really put up amazing gaudy numbers, but if he puts up 18 to 20, DK points there at 3,500, it's a punt play. I'm totally fine with that. I think it's okay. So, any centers jumping out to you? Let's just go with that.
As far as the Fernando play, he's flashed a ceiling throughout his career before, and especially when he gets some run. I definitely like that as far as a punt. And as far as the centers, I'm kind of with you, it's kind of as far as being shied off them a little bit. I guess I'm not totally all over a center myself, but a guy on the Brooklyn side that I do kind of like is Dorian Finney-Smith. Now I know he's the ultimate dart throw, kind of. He has a ceiling game every so often. But in this matchup with the Hawks have a lot of, those big, long, kind of 3-and-D wings. And I think DFS might get some more run this game as far as being out there as a defender and whatnot. And if he gets hot from three, I think he could be a lower owned kind of, pivot play that could definitely be a lower owned guy that can get you ahead of the field.
Yeah, I like that a lot, man. That's a good call there. Speaking of Brooklyn, with no Ben, well, we don't know if Ben Simmons is going to play. Ben Simmons doesn't play. I think De'Aaron Sharp, I mentioned him before, 4,300 center position. He is somebody I'd be considering for sure. He's got a very high per minute ceiling, so he's definitely a guy that intrigues the heck out of me. I like your Dorian Finney-Smith call there. Jeff Wilson's another one. Or not, sorry, Jalen Wilson, not Jeff Wilson. My bad. Jalen Wilson's another one at 3,300. I think if you want to get a little frisky and get somebody that's not gonna necessarily be owned by a whole lot of people, he's another guy I would definitely look at. He's only 3,300 out there. I believe he just signed a standard league contract. Yep, he just did.
They just did the other day. They gave him a contract.
Earlier today, as a matter of fact. So that just happened. So maybe he's feeling himself a little bit and he goes off for a little bit of a ceiling game there. If you want to go with that narrative, then there you go. One guy I would warn against here on the Brooklyn side would be Dennis Smith Jr. because with Wilson there, and I know they, I believe if I recall correctly, and I'm trying, I apologize if I'm getting things mixed up here, but I believe they just signed Jacob Gilliard, or they're rumored to sign him to a two-way contract, a new two-way contract here, where he'll be able to play for the Brooklyn Nets. So that's one guy I would a little bit warn against a little bit. I'm not necessarily feeling him as much, but I'm actually gonna look that up right now. But how are you feeling about these Nets? Anyone else? Yes, he did. 3 hours ago, he signed to a two-way deal with the Nets, so he could very well play in this game. I wonder if they're going to add him to the slate. Even if they do, though, I don't think I'm going to go with him. But I think what that does is it pushes Dennis Smith Jr. to the do not roster this guy territory for me. So.
Sure. As far as Dennis Smith there, I mean, he was kind of getting, a little bit of pushed out of the lineup anyways. I mean, don't get me wrong, he was still getting his run and whatnot, but he was way more of a a bench role guy, these last few games and whatnot. But as far as this Brooklyn side, I mean, it's kind of ugly. I think Schroeder's going to be pretty highly owned, but I think they kind of brought him on for a reason. I think they like using him for his skill set in a lot of lineups. So I'm with you there on the Dennis Smith Jr. side as well. I would kind of shy away from that as well, because if he's not getting the peripheral stats, which he would probably need some more minutes for as far as the steals, blocks, assists, he's not really known to as a microwave guy necessarily, or pure shooter off the bench. So I like that call as well.
Yeah, we're not gonna. I'm not gonna skip over these guys, but we do have to mention Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. Really, the two guys that are gonna do most of the scoring here for the Brooklyn Nets. I think they're definitely on the table here, especially against the Atlanta Hawks, who don't play a lot of defense. That's the chalk I'm eating right now in the lineup I've made for this two game slate here. Is there anybody else on the Nets that's kind of jumping out to you we haven't talked about yet?
I
Not
think that's
really.
about it.
That's about it.
I mean, I like the Bridges call. I've always been a Bridges fan as is. He's been a little
Been
cold as of
lackluster.
late. Yeah, he hasn't hit that ceiling in a while, which on a slate like this, he might be due. You know what I mean? But the guy that I do really kind of like in this spot is DFS. If you're making a couple lineups, I'm not saying he's an automatic jam, but I do kind of like him in tournaments. I think he has a decent chance to get you ahead of the field if you do decide to get him into lineups.
Perfect. All right, let's move on here to the second game here. We've got the Utah Jazz at the Miami Heat, and this is an 8-point spread in favor of the Heat. 225 is that game total. The game total for the other one was 220.5. So actually, the game total for this one is higher, which actually surprises the heck out of me. But people are still, I guess, clinging to that whole Brooklyn Nets are a good defensive team thing, which they aren't necessarily because they're not really trying that hard. But anyways, let's talk about the Utah Jazz at the Miami Heat. What jumps out to you here, man?
Well, currently I kind of like Jordan Clarkson in this spot, especially in this
Love
early
him.
two game slate. Especially in the slate like this, I kind of like going for the guys that have those higher ceilings as far as being scorers off the bench, kind of microwave guys. On slates like this, they just tend to kind of, if they do hit, they can give you an edge on the field. And he's had that that prowess throughout his whole career as a big point per minute guy off the bench. If he gets hot, he can really put you ahead of the field.
Yeah, I love it, man. I'm all over Jordan Clarkson. Unfortunately, the sportsbooks didn't have any Jordan Clarkson props up for whatever reason. But when it comes to something like this, I'm sure his points prop is going to be super low if it does come out. And I like to dial those up. So if it's like, 12.5 or 13.5 or something like that, I'll dial it up to 20 at plus 400 or plus 500 odds.
For sure.
So I like doing that a whole lot with those microwave scores. Fred VanVleet's a guy that I do that with a lot as well. Who we'll talk about here in a little bit, but yeah, he's definitely one of those dudes, and I feel like this is a spot where he could do that. I feel like people are kind of sleeping on the Jazz a little bit at this point because they are kind of in tank mode. They're playing Taylor Hendricks. I mean, they're chasing the Warriors and the Lakers right now, I believe, in the standings.
Yeah,
So it's not
they play
looking.
hard, man. They have their rotations that they've been sticking to. They play that three guard lineup a lot. And they play hard. I wouldn't say I guess it's a pseudo tank. The guys, when they're out there, they play hard, and their games they are kind of close sometimes. They give up a lot of points though. They aren't stopping anybody, so their games are attractive.
That's true. That's true. But on the Utah side, I do like some Lauri Markkanen as well. 7,600. He's another guy that's just like Mikal Bridges, hasn't been performing to his standards recently, but he always has that huge ceiling there. And of
Yeah,
course,
I had him written down as well, especially at his price. That's lowest I've seen him in quite some time myself.
7,600.
So it might be a kind of a do factor there for Laurie, but I had him written down as well as far as plays for this game myself.
And I only end up with one Miami Heat guy here. I'm not like obviously, so Tyler Hero's questionable, so we need to know that to really know what we're gonna do with the Heat here. So this will probably change once we get that information. But so far, I do like some Terry Rozier here a little bit.
I got him down. I got him down myself.
Another microwave scorer. I mean, those are the kind of, we're playing GPP, so these are the kind of guys you gravitate towards anyways. But yeah, he's one of those guys that can definitely get hot in a hurry and score a whole bunch of points. Like you said, the Utah Jazz, one of the worst defenses in the NBA, which they're gonna have to figure out this offseason, I would assume. But yeah, I do like here some Terry Rozier. I think people will gravitate towards Butler. I think for me, I think in a GPP especially, that's just not a good play because it's gonna be high ownership and
Correct.
8,100 is a nice price tag, but the ownership piece is the one that's just going to be the one that's going to turn me off of him. So,
Yeah, especially on this two game slate, for the Butler play there. Maybe on the main, I could maybe see a little reason for Butler because there's going to be some other pay up options, with a little bit bigger slate. But the Rozier call, I had him down for myself. I like that. He didn't have any sort of restriction his first game back. I think he played 33 minutes his first game back. We know he can fill it up too. So, I like the Rozier call there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's move on here to the three game slate here, which is the main slate for DraftKings. And if you guys don't know already, we do have a DFS pass that's $5 a month. You guys get to chat with us in our Discord. We get you a DFS delivery every single day. You get access to our pick'em plays, which have been crushing it recently as well. It's just $5 a month, like I said. So sportsethos.com, go sign up for that. Let's talk about the three game main slate though. It starts with Portland at Memphis. And we are sitting on a 1.5 point spread in favor of the Memphis Grizzlies and a 209 game total. The Grizzlies just played the Blazers tonight and they got crushed by like what, 30 points or something like that.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it
30
was
points,
lopsided.
exactly 30
Yeah.
points. So, Blazers won by 30 tonight. I don't think, with these two teams especially, there's not a whole lot to take away from that, honestly, because both these teams are in take mode, so there's
Yeah.
no reason to take any stock in one single game at all.
Let's
So
put it this way, man. As of late, it's been a pretty hard watch for any League Pass viewers out there. I mean, these two teams have been brutal lately.
yeah, but these are the games I love to target, obviously, in
Oh,
DFS
yeah.
because crazy things can absolutely happen. Let me start. I want to
Sure.
start on the Portland side. I want to start with a guy that absolutely went off tonight that I called in my DFS delivery for GPPs, and he just went insane. It's Jabari Walker. 41.5 DK points tonight with 19 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, a block, 2 steals. Like I said, can't put too much stock into one game. We don't know if DeAndre Hunter is going to play on Saturday or not. That's obviously going to be a huge thing for us to watch. But if he doesn't play, I got to go back to Jabari Walker. Well, man, what about you?
No, I like that call. I mean, he's flashed that upside at different points throughout this year as well, as far as Jabari Walker. I do like him a lot, and there are some injury things that we have to look out here for the Blazers. Ayton, Henderson, and Brogdon, they've already been ruled out, so that's obviously going to open up some minutes for these other guys. I kind of like Kamara a little bit for them. He's shown a little bit of upside here the last couple games. And Duop Reath, his skill set as a center eligible option, it's been intriguing this year. He's a pretty good 3-point shooter. He hits open threes when he gets the looks. He's a high energy guy. He gets the peripheral stats, blocks and deflections, and he can fill it up. And don't get me wrong, I love the call with the mention that you just had there. But Reath is a guy maybe if you want to get off Jabari Walker there. It might be a little bit of different option. There's throughout this whole matchup, there are some. There's only a couple somewhat higher priced players in this entire matchup, and the rest are kind of them the middle priced options that you're kind of going to be taking stabs at throughout this game. So while it is one to target, I agree you can find some value. There's going to be value had for sure in this game. It's whether or not we can pinpoint it. And with these two teams, the way that they're injured and playing some no name guys, it's hard to pinpoint, but it's definitely worth some stabs, especially if you're doing multiple lineups and GPP tournaments.
Yeah, I stacked Jabari Walker and Duop Reath tonight in one lineup, which ended up doing very well. Duop Reath also had a really good line in this one as well. He is the guy that's kind of, I would say, more well known though. Probably going to have higher ownership. Jabari Walker is going to be the guy that's going to be a little lower ownership, so that's why I'm gravitating towards him. But
Yeah, I agree.
like you said, they're going to be pretty good plays there. So we got to mention both those guys. One thing we will say also about DFS and fantasy in general is that centers. Are guys that you can generally count on them to produce stats, whether or not they're going to play or not. And just a clarification there to what you said, we don't know yet if DeAndre Ayton's going to be out,
Okay, all right.
but we do know that Malcolm Brogdon and Scoot Henderson will be out. I was just double checking that while you were talking there,
No,
but.
yeah, and I had done my research earlier, and it I was on the ESPN app there, and it did say that he was listed as out, but that obviously could have changed there, and I apologize for
Yeah,
that.
no, it's
But
okay. I just want to clarify for the listeners
no,
out
absolutely. No,
there.
absolutely. That's some pertinent information there.
Yeah. But if he does play, obviously that throws a wrench in our whole Jabari Walker and Duop brief
Oh,
plays, and
sure.
we don't play either of those guys. So, anyways, but we'll move on here. We'll talk about the Memphis Grizzlies side of this. And I only end up with one guy here, and I'm not super sold on him either. I ended up with Vince Williams Jr. In my lineups here. I just love the kid. I love the way he plays. I think he's going to slot in as the fifth starter for the Grizzlies next season, and I'm just super excited about that. There's really no good reason in this particular game that I have him in my lineup. But we did just see Jordan, Goodwin go off. The hesitation I have there, Pat, and I do like Goodwin. I like Goodwin's game a whole lot. He didn't shoot well tonight either, but he ended up having a very solid game, nearly 28 DK points. But the reason I'm a little hesitant about him in this situation here is that we did get news that Luke Kennard is probably going to try to suit up for this game. And I believe Derrick Rose also is going to try to suit up for this game. So if both those guys do play, then that probably sends Goodwin, who is on a two-way contract. Perhaps they save him for later in the season. They don't play him here. So,
Yeah, because they only have so many a lot of games, when they have guys on those two-way deals.
Exactly. So we have to be aware of that. So Goodwin is on in one of those contracts. So he may not play at all. That burned me earlier in the season with Scottie Pippen Jr. actually, because he
Same
never
here, man.
played. Yeah.
It
So I was
probably the
like,
same slate.
it was like he had just had two like really good games. We're like, oh yeah, he's not playing today. I was like, oh okay, great. Then it's left to lock. So,
And Gilliard ended up going off that game,
yeah.
if I do recall.
That's probably the same game. I think that does ring some bells there. So, anyways, you got to be wearing that stuff here. So, Goodwin is a guy I'd probably be off of. I'm not gonna. I mean, he's 5,200 anyways, which is
Yeah, and
ridiculous.
that's what I was going to mention with Goodwin there. I had Goodwin and Williams down myself for the Memphis side here. Goodwin at 5.2K. That's what I was going to mention. That price is getting pretty steep for a
Yeah.
play like him. That kind of erases all the value from his player profile there. And I like what you said about Vince Williams there. He's really shown me a lot this year as a longer wing on this Memphis team. He can kind of fill it up and do it all. And I think he's definitely going to be part of their plans for building in the future. And he's at a pretty good price still at 6.6K. He smashed that at times this year. And like with this Grizzly rotation that they've had this year, if you can kind of pinpoint some of the mainstays on it, it gives you a little bit more clarity for sure as far as that play. So Williams for sure is a pretty good option there on the Memphis side.
Yeah, and we don't know for sure if Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be out. He may play, he may not. Looks like he is currently listed on DK as out, but we just don't know. He's got quad tendon soreness, which typically takes a while to heal from, but we don't know. It could be varying levels of soreness, so we'll have to keep our eye
Sure.
on that as well. But yeah, those are the two guys I'm targeting on that side as well. Everyone else is really just a dart throw. I mean, just to throw out some names there that you could think about. Jake LaRavia at 3,800. Jemison at 4,200 is a guy that I like to go to sometimes as well. Those are really the only two guys I would throw out as kind of just like, really a dart. And when you're talking about dart throw, you're hoping that it's a low price tag because you really don't want to strike out. So,
Basically a punt for
yeah,
sure. And
exactly.
I know LaRavia, he actually had a good game tonight. He smashed tonight. I think he had 21 real points. I'm not sure what he ended up with DK wise, but
28 points off.
he smashed tonight. And another guy I like is as far as that punt type option, if he does happen to get the run, is Matthew Hurt on the Grizzlies. Myself, I'm kind of a Duke Blue Devils fan as far as college hoops. To much people's dismay, probably listening, but he's a really, really versatile scorer as far as from 3-point range. And if he gets hot, and if he gets the run, he could easily get hot and smash that price tag. But he hasn't been playing as much. I do think he is on the roster currently, so that's just an option as far as a punt if he does play.
And it's a three-game slate, so you got to get, some of these guys that are just going to be overlooked by everybody else. It's funny because my dad is a big UNC fan, so my youngest brother decided to be a Duke fan just to stick it to the old man. So we got that good little
Gotta
rivalry
love
going on.
it. Family rivalry there.
Oh yeah, little fun going on there. Anyways, Denver Nuggets at the Los Angeles Lakers is the next game here. This. Let me say it's a 1 point spread in favor of the Lakers. 229.5 is that game total. This is a This screams defense to me. Both these teams, I usually, when I see them on the slate, I'm kind of knocking the guys going against them kind of down a notch or two. So I'll be honest with you, I'm not loving a whole lot on this game. I know you texted me before and said, hey, I'm not really liking, I don't know if you remember if it was this game or another game, but you said you weren't really liking one of the games, at least on the slate. But this is, for me, this is the one that I'm like, you know what? I really don't know what to do with this. So I'm gonna let you start. Who do you like here in Denver, LA?
No, absolutely. And just for the record, that I messaged you earlier, that was actually that Blazers Grizz game. And
Ah, yeah. A
I
fun
do
one.
like the game. It's so hard finding
Still,
who to
yeah.
pinpoint, and with these rosters and the
There can be
rotations
zeros, man.
that those two teams are using currently. I mean, if you're using several builds, several lineups, absolutely, it's a great one to option. I just want to forewarn people, as far as that. But as far as this Lakers and Nuggets game, for the Lakers side, as far as stars in this matchup, I think they might gain some ownership on this main slate for sure. On the Lakers side, I'm not going to be paying up for LeBron or AD, but I really like Austin Reaves in this spot. I think he might be a little bit underowned as far as on the Lakers side. I think, like I said, I think LeBron and AD are going to get a lot of the love. And he smashed a bunch this year, man. 6.5K, I kind of like that price tag for him. And this matchup between these two teams, there's kind of been some bickering back and forth the past few matchups and over the off season as far as these two teams playing against each other. I think it's going to have that playoff feel, like you said, defensively. I think it might even get called that way with the referees. So I kind of like some of the defensive wing role guys in this game for sure. And I think Reaves has an opportunity to really pay off that price tag. And another guy for the Lakers that I like is Spencer Dinwiddie at 4.1K on this main slate. He's been getting around anywhere from about 22 to 26 minutes with his new role on the Lakers here. And at 4.1K, if they find a lineup or a matchup that they like him in this game, he can get hot, and I think he could really be a low-owned tournament play that could smash that 4.1 price tag. I really like those two plays from the Lakers. And as far as this Nugget side, I'm not making any groundbreaking analysis here, but I do like Joker as a pay-up option here. I know that he recently come out and said that he's gone in for the one seed. I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast, and there's a story floating around that he sent out in the group text for the whole team that they're coming for the one seed after the All-Star break. And his play has shown that post All-Star break. He's been absolutely going nuts. He is priced up towards the top of his price tag, don't get me wrong. But in a close game like this, they obviously revolve everything around him. KCP and Jamal Murray might sit this game, so it's going to even increase that already crazy usage for Joker. So I do kind of like him as the only payup option from this game. And as far as a middle price option for the Nuggets, Michael Porter Jr. He had a big game last time out, but especially if KCP or Murray, if one of them miss or if both of them miss, they're going to rely heavily on his minutes. And if he gets hot from deep, he's shown he can get double digit rebounds. He could smash 7K price tag too. So those are kind of the four plays that I really like from this matchup myself.
I like to hear that in my 30-team dynasty league where I've got Michael Porter Jr. I hope he has a good game. I really do. I'm not loving anything on this side. One observation I do have here that I think is going to hopefully win some people some GPPs is I'm all over Jackson Hayes at 3,300. We still have no Christian Wood here. And, containing Jokic is going to take a team effort. And, if Anthony Davis decides to not want to take some defensive assignments on Jokic because he wants to save his energy for the offensive end, or gets in foul trouble, of course, or anything like that, it's going to be Jackson Hayes that comes in. And I was actually looking at his last game against the Denver Nuggets. I'm trying to find it now. He had 9.6 boards and 2 blocks and an assist, so he had 24 DK points, which is really, really nice at 3,300 for that price tag. He saw 18 minutes in that game, which is no, I'm sorry, he saw. Was it 18 minutes? I just lost it again. There you go. 17 minutes in that game, which is a little bit of a bump up from what he's been seeing recently. Saw 11 minute games back to back. If he gets a bump of 6, 7, 8 minutes, again, I think he's a really nice kind of value option for you out there if you can get 20 DK points with that price tag. So that's all I'm going to throw out here. We're going to move on to the last game though, as we're running out of time here. Houston Rockets at the Phoenix Suns. 9.5 point favorites are the Suns. 231 is that game total. Talk to me, man. What do you like here, Pat?
So for this game, I have down a guy that I think is going to be lower owned on the Houston side here. I kind of like Dylan Brooks in this game. 4.6K on DraftKings. All my pricing that you've heard me mention throughout this pod and all the pods that you'll hear me do are from DraftKings, by the way. But 4.6K on DraftKings. I think in this matchup against the Suns, Brooks is known as a good defender. I think he's going to be on the floor a lot against Booker, trying to defend Booker and Durant. And if he gets hot from deep and gets some peripheral stats with some blocks and steals, I really like his price tag as a lower owned wing at 4.6K on the Rocket side. And I also like Jabari Smith Jr. on the Houston side here at 6.8K. He's a really good young player. I think he's really going to try to match up against KD. They're kind of similar player profiles a little bit. I think he's going to want to prove his worth as a young player in this league in this matchup. And I like Jabari Smith Jr. maybe flash his ceiling at the 6.8K price tag. And for the Suns side, I have Nurk at 7.1K. I think it's a good spot for him. I think Durant and Booker are obviously going to get their ownership. I don't foresee myself having too much Durant or Booker in this slate myself personally. I'm not saying that they're terrible plays. Obviously, they both can smash any time out. But on a smaller type slate like this, especially if you're only playing the late, like I said, I try to differentiate myself a little bit, especially in tournaments. If I have to lose by fading a stud every once in a while, I don't mind it. 'Cause I'd rather be different, and try getting away from some of that ownership. So Nurk is a guy that I like on the Phoenix side at 7.1K to hit that ceiling that we all know he has.
I love it, man. I love Nurk here. I'm gonna stick to what I know here. I'm going kind of contrarian, I guess, on other games here on this little tiny three game slate here. So I'm going a little bit with chalky. I do like Devin Booker. You mentioned him. The one thing we know about the Houston Rockets is that they struggle to defend the pick and roll. And one thing we know about Devin Booker is he absolutely smashes in the pick and roll. He smashes in pretty
Sure.
much all actions on offense.
Absolutely.
So I know I do think that there is a ceiling game here in the cards for him. On the other side, I do like Fred VanVleet. We mentioned him a little earlier in the show. One of those guys that's a microwave, can get off, and score points in a hurry. And the Suns are not necessarily a good defense, and they're going to be reincorporating Bradley Beal in this game as well. So they might have some issues with some defensive rotations. Maybe get some easy, looks at the basket. So I do like here some Fred VanVleet. I love me some Devin Booker. But the one thing I'm going to point out, and you mentioned him already, but I'm just going to double down on that, is Yusuf Nurkic. We're team fade Alperen Şengün over here. At least I am
I never get him right, man.
on
I don't
Sway.
think I've
Yeah.
ever gotten Şengün right,
Well, Şengün.
admittedly.
Şengün has the issue of not playing very good defense. He has been better this year. I know I've had some Rockets people in my ear saying, "Yeah, what do you bash on this guy before? He's been pretty serviceable." I think it's been a little bit overblown, his bad defense. But again, the pick and roll defense that they struggle with, a big part of that reason is because of Şengün being on the floor. So I do like Nurkic here to go ahead and tear up Şengün. I love that call. One last guy on the Suns you didn't mention, I do want to point out though. This is going to come a little bit out of left field for people, but Royce O'Neale. I know that Bradley Beal is back in the lineup
Sure.
here, but I am really pretty strongly opinionated here. I have a strong opinion that they're going to continue to start Royce O'Neale. I think he fits next to Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, all those starters in that
Oh,
starting
absolutely.
a little bit better than Bradley Beal. And even if he doesn't, Brad Beal is going to be coming back from a pretty lengthy absence here, so they're going to bring him along slowly. I wouldn't be surprised if he does come off the bench. Of course, whether or not a guy starts isn't the end all be all to their fantasy, outlook or their fantasy value. But I do think Royce O'Neale brings a whole heck of a lot to the table. He's had two really good games in a row, but his price tags also come up to 5,300. So I don't think his ownership's going to be too bad, especially when people are, reading that Bradley Beal is back. So,
No, Keith, I love that call there. The Suns, they went out and got Royce O'Neale for a reason. They kind of needed some wing help there on this team. He's known as a great defender, which he is, and he's a good spot up shooter at times. He gets hot, he can really fill it up, and he's been playing a lot of minutes for him. And I really love that call. He fits that, like you said, he fits what that team needed perfectly. And that's a good call, and I'm glad you mentioned him.
That was who I was hoping the Nazir Little would end up being, but Nazir Little flamed out on me, unfortunately. So
Absolutely.
we go on to the next guy. Anyways, that's gonna do it for us, guys. That is your early 2-game slate and your 3-game main slate. There's also a turbo slate later in the evening. Maybe we'll release something for that later on. But until next time, guys, I am Keith York. You can find me on Twitter at Ethos Keith, at Ethos Keith. And Pat, where can people find you in your work, my friend?
You find me on X at Stat Patter. That's a capital S and a capital P, and the patter will be two T's at Stat Patter. That's about the only social that I really use. So go ahead and follow me there, and you'll see some basketball and football and general sports talk on there.
Go give him some love, man. And again, at Ethos DFS is our main channel here where you're going to find all of our episodes. Until next time, guys, hey, go get that money.